Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Yes, I'm Andrew Green, Head of Library and Heritage Service at Wandsworth, but also, as David was, in a way, representing SCL because Inspire is an SCL-sponsored body, but I'll go into that in a bit more detail. I'm really pleased to have the opportunity to talk to you today and bring you up to date on what's going on in Inspire in terms of breaking down organisational barriers for different types of learners. So I want to give a bit of the background and then talk about what's currently happening. I'm sort of going to break a bit of a rule because sometimes you're told what you shouldn't tell people, but I'm sort of going to do it because while I'm in the kind of restructuring services section, I'm not talking about the normal form of restructuring in terms of changing reporting lines and things like that. What I want to talk about really is how a partnership like Inspire can sort of recognise and accept individual structures and priorities and working practices, but actually work around those and with them to actually offer a better form of access for our customers. Basically, Inspire is all about participation and access, and originally it's obviously quite an ambitious endeavour to improve access across all types of libraries, and initially we were focused on England, but Over time, we've actually signed up libraries in Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland, and even the Republic of Ireland has actually adopted Inspire principles with two of its pathways to learning groups. So it's very much the sort of the whole of the home nations and the Republic of Ireland. Society of Chief Librarians and SCONAHL, the Society for College, National and University Libraries, initially gained funding from MLA to investigate the scope for making it easier for learners in one sector to use another. And now Inspire has members from all sectors. That's really what we're trying to achieve, and that's what I want to cover today, just to give you a sense of a bit of the background, as I said earlier, and then also what the benefits are of joining. What we're trying to achieve is, as it says, a cross-sectoral access route to information and knowledge, and to, through that, link higher education, public, the three national libraries in England, Wales and Scotland, FE, special and health libraries, and in doing that, to actually widen the horizons for learners and the libraries that they use. I only put that up simply as a kind of reminder of where Inspire came from, because although, in a way, those kind of reports and strategies are in the past, I think they still underpin a lot of what we're trying to achieve in the actual service and customer delivery sense, and I think they just help set the scene for what I'm talking about. That's the kind of range of national and regional partners. We also, through Libraries and Information East Midlands and South West Regional Library Service, we also have representation through the individuals from the combined regions. Philip Payne and myself are the co-directors, but we also have two other representatives, both from SCL and SCONAHL. David Pearson, who's Head of Service in the City of London, is the other SCL representative, and Helen Workman from Oxford Brookes University is the second representative on behalf of SCONAHL. What the framework is about is actually having a kite mic criteria whereby everybody who joins actually knows what the deal is. And it's very much about managed referral to different types of library so that people still have their own joining and membership criteria, but obviously it gives you a kind of an initial introduction before you use any one of the partner libraries. In terms of the kite mark, which was something that was felt very early on was necessary so that everybody knew what the deal was and what the opportunities were, but also the limitations, was to agree to those sort of key criteria so that whatever else you offer, people are required to sign up and agree to deliver those. I think critically, what makes Inspire succeed or fail is actually the activist, the person who's passionate about breaking down barriers between, say, a public library, a university library, or a special library and a college library, and that they can therefore bring in influence to bear on it and not treat it just as a nuisance, as something that gets in the way of the day job. And I think the other thing that's critical is around all staff needing to be briefed on the programme, and I think I give that as an example because certainly in the early days, some of the things that people tripped over were things like not briefing their security staff. And quite often, if you're entering an institution like a university or a college, those will be the first people you meet. And actually, there was quite an issue around security staff going, nope, you haven't got a membership, nope, you can't go in. And actually, that issue around getting everybody to understand that if somebody has a legitimate reason to be there, then they need a welcome. Those are sort of, if you like, the kind of concerns that people had in the left-hand column and the responses. And I think that applied historically, but it still applies now, that when somebody sort of hears about Inspire and wants to know what it might have to offer them, those are still the concerns. What will be the impact on staff? Will I be overwhelmed? Is it going to create security? And certainly from the experience we've had, and we keep in constant touch with members, we've been very diligent in checking whether our understanding of the impact has changed or not. And I have to say that we're talking relatively small numbers, and I think that's always an issue. Back to the point that was made earlier about, you know, telling people about what libraries have to offer of all sectors. But clearly, for the learners, it offers an enormous opportunity, but it doesn't overwhelm organisations that are in membership. That just basically is a kind of an indication of what we see as the benefit for users and potential users. And I think it's very much about the role of direction, advice and guidance and steering people towards appropriate learning materials, but also responding to the needs of the individual. That's a kind of a whistle stop, if you like, of actually the current kind of membership and engagement. We have a number of libraries in Scotland in membership. The original FOIL activity in Northern Ireland became Inspire Northern Ireland and is across the whole of the province. As I mentioned briefly earlier, there are Pathways to Learning operating in the Republic of Ireland. And what's perhaps most interesting in the Republic of Ireland is that of all the Inspire partnerships, they have a music information and materials partnership, and it's effectively the only one that is actually subject-based, not geographic. Everybody else is looking at a geographic set of relationships, whereas the music Pathways to Learning in the Republic is actually subject-based, and I think it's actually something that the scope to continue and extend that elsewhere depending on need. I think in terms of achieving our aims, the kite mark has been provided a clear and simple national offer. So we were talking about different kinds of national offer earlier, and this is very much another part of those in terms of being able to move between different sectors, and for learners to know what they can expect and for libraries to know what they're committed to. Mentioned earlier that the funding was originally for HE and public libraries, but we've progressively extended and expanded the membership, and as the previous slides indicated, it gives you a range of the kind of number of organisations that are in membership, but it's actually very broad now and still growing, and obviously some areas are stronger than others. I think the kite mark is crucial to breaking down the barriers and opening up the opportunities for people because, it's, as I say, people know what the basis of the offer is. In terms of making it work, we have the website, which I'll mention, go into a bit more detail in a minute. We have LIS Inspire. There's always an information pack for all libraries that are involved and publicity materials. And one of the publicity materials that a number of you should receive either via email or also via the website is that every 2 months we publish an e-newsletter on examples of partnership and cooperation operating across the UK and also, if aware, in the Republic of Ireland. And that is one of the things that's kept the message alive. That's the home screen of the Inspire website. That was relaunched on 25th of June specifically to coincide with this conference so that both today and afterwards you can log on and browse and actually see what information is there. And the obvious thing is that you add your own information. It's only a soft launch in that we've actually made it available, but we're looking to do a formal relaunch in the autumn, and we'll be talking to the British Library about that, who were instrumental in the funding of the improved website. that's just sort of giving examples of what's available. That's around, talks to you about the kind of libraries, and it's very much about a geographic basis so that depending on the region you're in, you would tune down in your locality for the benefits of users. And then again, it talks about how you join and what the implications and obligations are. So it's very much designed to be a tool for librarians rather than the public, but obviously some of it does have relevance to the public. Very much about a national initiative and trying to break down some of the boundaries that exist. And I think you have to acknowledge that in many ways HE works in a different way to public libraries, in that we are always aware of who our kind of neighbours are, whereas for HE they work much more on a national basis. But very much trying to focus on the needs of the user, but also keeping ourselves in tune with day-to-day libraries by the role of the Inspire directors and the management board, which is, as you saw earlier, quite representative across the country. I think in terms of key lessons, those up on the screen are what we would say were the main lessons that people have learned from being involved in Inspire. You have to acknowledge that people's will have needs, and certain sectors are more wary than others of opening their doors and making their resources available. As ever, things take longer than you anticipate, and that's perhaps the opposite of where you're having to restructure in the kind of classic sense, because you're having to kind of edge along and try to resolve some people's concerns and worries. Certainly works better if you've got a regional, sub-regional group, because then you've got like-minded people working in a locality who can drive it. And important to involve local staff right early on, because clearly I can say why I think it's a value. Librarian at Birkbeck College can say why they think it's a value. It actually only really works when somebody comes in to an inquiry point or into a library and actually wants to use it. And it's really about the quality and the focus and recognition of the frontline staff. And always about marketing. And we've talked already today about how, as a profession, we seem to have a sort of a cog missing, that we don't actually promote ourselves as well as we can. And that is obviously something that through websites, through newsletters, Inspire seeks to do. So I know we're going to do questions at the end, but that's my final slide. So that's the new website address for the Inspire website. It's changed from the previous one, but I think it's appropriate that it's got libraries in it. And if anybody wants to follow up on any of the detail, then either speak to me or Philip Payne or David Pearson or Helen Workman. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.